Hello there. This is At the Jazz Band Ball, a podcast devoted to early jazz and swing music from the 1920s through the 40s. I'm your host, Kevin McLaughlin. Well, Happy New Year to you. Welcome to 2025. Goodness, hard to believe, but here we are. On today's show, I thought it might be nice to listen to some jazz from exactly 100 years ago. Jazz either recorded in 1925 or written that year and then recorded sometime later. Well, jazz was really starting to flower by 1925. A wave of musicians had already migrated from the South up north around World War I. And musicians like Louis Armstrong, Bix Beiderbecke, Bessie Smith, and others had moved to big cities to perform their art, like New York and Chicago. Radio was becoming a normal part of life in 1925, and recording technology was improving, incorporating electric microphones, among other things, and the demand for jazz was increasing rapidly. As with many factors and events that were good to jazz at this time period, it seems like Pops was always close at hand.
Thank you. love it, kid. Oh, pick that piano, yeah.
From Louis Armstrong to start out the show. First, we heard Gut Bucket Blues, one of Louis Armstrong's first appearances on record as leader. That was Louis Armstrong in his Hot Five from 1925. Louis, it says here on cornet, although it was a pretty big cornet sound, sounded more like a trumpet to me, but cornet and then vocals, of course. Kid Ory on trombone. And that was Kid Ory at the end kind of exhorting Louis Armstrong to play that thing. Johnny Dodds, clarinet, Lil Armstrong, Louis's wife, on piano, and Johnny St. Cyr, banjo. And before that, we heard Louis Armstrong and his orchestra from 1930 in a recording of Dinah. Well, Dinah was composed in 1925 by Harry Axt, with lyrics by Sam M. Lewis and Joe Young. We've seen Joe Young pop up a few times on this show. It was introduced by Eddie Cantor in the musical Kid Boots and then popularized by Ethel Waters. Her version from 1925 played significantly slower than the original. And then Bing Crosby sang with the Mills Brothers in a rendition. It was a number one hit in 1932. Well, one singer of Dinah, Fanny Rose Shore, used it as her theme song and became so identified with it that she took her stage name, Dinah Shore, from the song. Well, we're listening to the sounds of 1925 today on At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm Kevin McLaughlin. It's great to have you along. Next, we're going to listen to a little bit of the California Ramblers. This was a very popular group in that era. We're going to hear Clap Hands, Here Comes Charlie, which was a popular song written by Billy Rose, Ballard McDonald, and Joseph Meyer, first published in 1925. The song was recorded by several popular singers of the era, including a version by Billy Murray. I don't know if you know that name, but Murray was a best-selling recording artist of the first quarter of the 20th century, selling over 300 million records during the phonograph era. Ella Fitzgerald later recorded Clap Hands later in the century. But the version we're going to hear by the California Ramblers from 1925 gives you a sense of what you might have heard on the radio during this period. Listen for the great bass saxophone playing of Adrian Rollini, which was a Ramblers trademark. Thank you.
From the wide and open spaces. Clap hands,
here comes Charlie. Good time, Charlie.
Clap hands,
here comes Charlie now.
One of the great early white bands from this era, 1925, we heard the California Ramblers play Clap Hands, Here Comes Charlie. Some real nice bass saxophone playing by Adrian Rollini. Well, jazz flourished certainly as a live medium during this period, thanks partly to Prohibition, which was at its height in 1925. Jazz benefited from the suppression of drinking alcohol, since it turns out the best way to popularize a thing is to send it underground. And people needed something to entertain them while they were drinking when jazz was relegated to local nightclubs and speakeasies. Radios were relatively expensive in 1925, about $35 a set to the average consumer, which is about $600 of our modern dollars. So the prevailing taste of music on the air was geared to upper middle class whites. Sweet dance music, popular male singers of the era, like Paul Whiteman and Bing Crosby, for example. But territory bands from the Midwest had some impact on the radio. Bands like the Coon Sanders Original Nighthawk Orchestra, the first Kansas City band to achieve national recognition through radio broadcasts. They got their name from the founders, by the way, drummer Carlton Coon and pianist Joe Sanders. Here's Flamin' Mamie, a tune played for us by the Original Nighthawk Orchestra, the Coon Sanders group. It was borrowed from the Paul Whiteman book, something you might have heard on the radio late at night, somewhere around Kansas City in 1925. Was Flamin' Mamie, performed by the Coon Sanders Nighthawks, co-led by drummer Carlton Coon and pianist Joe Sanders. It's what you might have heard late at night on the radio in 1925, broadcast on WDAF from the Muehlebach Hotel in Kansas City. WDAF was a clear channel station that could be heard all over the country. This is At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm Kevin McLaughlin, and this week we're listening to music from 100 years ago. These were all tunes that were either composed or recorded in 1925. Well, T for Two, another big hit in 1925, is a show tune from the Broadway musical No, No, Nanette, composed by Vincent Humans with lyrics by Irving Caesar. The first hit recordings were by the Benson Orchestra of Chicago and Marion Harris, who we heard on our Halloween show. Art Tatum famously played the song in 1931 in a cutting contest with Fats Waller and James P. Johnson. No piano slouches they. And he was so successful, and Fats was so impressed by him. He famously announced Tatum in a club as he was coming in as, "God is in the house." I listened for Tatum's use of substitute chords on the tune, which had a lasting effect on jazz harmony. This is a 1939 recording which was inducted in the Grammy Hall of Fame. Here's T for Two, Art Tatum. We have Squeeze Me from 1925. It's a jazz song composed by Fats Waller, his first published composition. And the lyrics were credited to Clarence Williams, although Andy Razzaf claims to have actually written the lyrics. The song was based on an old blues tune called The Boy in the Boat. Here's Fats Waller.
Don't stop till I tell you when. Baby, squeeze me and kiss me some more, just like you did before. little Cupid is standing close by. Come on, don't let your fat daddy cry. Pick me up, oh babe, on your knee, oh babe. I get so old, you know, when you squeeze me.
Fats Waller playing his very first composition, Squeeze Me, that was recorded in 1939. He wrote that in 1925. Fats Waller on piano and vocals, John Hamilton, trumpet, Gene Cedric, clarinet, tenor sax, Cedric Wallace, bass, John Smith, guitar, and Slick Jones, drums. I want to get to Bix Beiderbecke and his Rhythm Jugglers in just a second, but before I do that, I wanted to give you kind of a roll call of great jazz musicians who were all born in 1925, and there's some good ones. Wes Montgomery, the guitarist, was born in Indianapolis. James Moody, tenor, flute, alto player, born in Savannah, Georgia. Gene Ammons, tenor player from Chicago, Illinois. Tito Puente, timbales, vibes player, born in New York. Al Gray, the trombonist, born in Aldi, Virginia. Nat Pierce, a pianist and arranger, born in Somerville, Massachusetts. Jimmy Scott, singer, born in Cleveland, Ohio. Oscar Peterson, the great pianist and leader composer, born on my birthday, August 15th, in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Art Pepper, alto and clarinet player, Gardena, California. Mel Torme, the singer and drummer and composer, born September 13th in Chicago, Illinois. Charlie Bird, the guitarist, born September 16th, 1925 in Chuckstock, Virginia. Zoot Sims, tenor and soprano saxophone, born October 29th in Inglewood, California. And Gunther Schuller, the great composer, French hornist, and writer on jazz, born in Jackson Heights, New York, on November 11th. Well, here's Bix Beiderbecke and his Rhythm Jugglers, all friends from the Gene Goldkett Band, recording his own Davenport Blues from 1925. In February of that year, Bix Beiderbecke decided to straighten up and fly right and continue his formal studies at Iowa State University, but the effort only lasted 18 days, and Bix was off on the road again playing jazz. Here's Bix on cornet, Tommy Dorsey trombone, Don Murray clarinet, Paul Mertz piano, Howdy Quicksell banjo, Tom Gorgano drums, in a recording session at the Gannett Studios in Richmond, Indiana, recorded January 26th, 1925. Vic Spiderbeck and his own Davenport Blues, written in 1925 and recorded at Gannett Studios in Richmond, Indiana, on January 26, 1925. I want to give a special shout out to the Syncopated Times, which is just an excellent source of historical and current information about jazz. I consult it pretty regularly when putting together these episodes. Syncopated Times is the only monthly newspaper that I know of that focuses on hot jazz, ragtime, and swing music. Each issue includes original feature stories, interviews with current artists, and some interesting history lessons. I think you'll want to check it out, especially if you enjoy this kind of music that we play. SyncopatedTimes.com. Well, we have just enough time to play one more for you. We've been listening to jazz from 1925 this week on At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm Kevin McLaughlin. I hope you enjoyed listening to this music, 100 years old, and in the case of some of the recordings, literally 100 years old. Sorry for the scratchiness on a couple of those, but I hope you thought the extra effort to listen was worth it. And by the way, if you're enjoying these podcasts, please write and let me know. The best way is to contact us through our Substack page, kevinmclaughlin.substack.com. And if you feel like commenting or rating the show, either on Substack or on your favorite podcast platform, it would be great to see that. You can also subscribe or follow the show on Substack. You can donate a little bit every month or just listen for free. That's fine. Thanks for discovering us and listening to us regularly. We're going to finish out the show with one of the great blues performances on record. This one made almost 100 years ago today, January 14th, 1925. Louis Armstrong is on cornet, Fred Longshaw organ, and they accompany Bessie Smith, the great Empress of the Blues, on W.C. Handy's 1914 composition, St. Louis Blues. Before I forget, I want to invite you to make requests for anything you'd like to hear, as long as it's jazz from the 1920s through the 40s. And it could also be something we've already played on the podcast, but is worth hearing again. And if we get enough of these, we may devote a whole show to your requests. Or if it's just a few trickling in, we'll spread them out over future shows. All right, here's St. Louis Blues, Bessie Smith, Louis Armstrong, Fred Longshaw, 1925. Thank you. This has been At the Jazz Band Ball, a podcast devoted to early jazz and swing music from the 1920s through the 40s. I'm Kevin McLaughlin, coming to you from Cleveland, Ohio. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.